The text is just the first three words of verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Most of the English translations translate it, love is patient. The word love is correct. The word charity here is the word agape or love in the New Testament. And even the rest of that translation, love is patient, is a fair translation because that best captures in our modern English vocabulary what's meant here. Love is patient. But there's a couple things that we mustn't miss here. And the first is this, that what's being described here is not just a characteristic of love, but the activity of love. What's being described here is not the characteristic of love, but the activity of love. It's not just describing what love looks like, but it's describing to us what our love will do. Charity suffers long. All 15 of these descriptions in verses 4 through 7 are forms of verbs. And they bring us back to this, that love is not just a feeling, but an activity. And that love is an activity that is sometimes contrary to how I feel. That love is a choice of the will to go against how I feel. So Jesus says, love your enemies. Is that something you feel like doing? No, they're your enemies. But you've got to love them. And you choose to love them. And that's why each of these descriptions of love comes from a verb. And so even though patience is probably the word that we would use in our vocabulary today to give the most accurate sense or meaning here, suffers long is really better because that's a verb. This is something that you do. You suffer long. You are long suffering. And here's the point. This is not just describing some people who have the characteristic of being patient people, but this is describing how we should choose to love others. This is describing the course of action that we will follow if we truly love the other. In love, I will be willing and I will be resolved to suffer long, to be patient with others. The Greek word that's used here has the idea of having a long temper. It's interesting, we don't have anything in the English language for that. We do have something for a short temper. But the word is a long temper, to be long tempered. It has the idea of giving time, of being patient, waiting. That's the idea. There are a couple of places in the New Testament that you find this word used, and that meaning comes out very clearly. Matthew 18, verses 26 and 29. You have here the parable of the unjust servant. He asked to be forgiven. His master was going to sell his wife and his children and all that he had, so that he could make his payment. And Matthew 18, verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. That's the word there. Have patience. Suffer long with me. Wait, and I will pay thee all. Give me time. Verse 29, this same man who's forgiven turns around and demands of his servant that he pay him that he owes, or of his peer. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, same word, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Give me time. Be long-suffering. The word's also used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. And this word is addressed especially to the office bearers in the church. And that's clear from what he says in the very first line. We exhort you, brethren. He's speaking to his fellow office bearers in the church. We exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and then this, be patient with all men. Suffer long with all men. And the point is, you're going to need to be patient because you're going to have in the church the unruly or the idle, and they're going to need to be warned. You're going to have in the church the feeble-minded or the faint of heart. You're going to have in the church the weak. And if you're going to deal with them as an office bearer, as the shepherd would deal with his sheep, you're going to need to be patient. You're going to have to give them time. You have to wait. You're going to come to them with the same exhortations again and again, and the same help again and again over years and even decades. And you're going to have to be patient with them. Perhaps this idea has to do especially with the way that we react. The way that we react. Or the way that we choose to react. Our will chooses to react. The ancient church father Chrysostom, commenting on this phrase, love is long-suffering or suffers long, says this of the word used: it is a word which is used of the man who is wronged and who has it easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it. A man is wronged, he has it in his power to take revenge, but he will never do it. When we give time, when we're long-suffering, we don't explode. We're not quick to retaliate. We don't want to even the score. But instead, especially when we're treated wrongly, we receive the injuries with meekness and with patience. We do this repeatedly, and we do this continually, constantly. This is not a passive, aggressive behavior which waits for a little while and then explodes. But this is a loving patience. It communicates. Sometimes it corrects. But always, it's patient in love. Now, as we try to understand this, it's important for us to make a distinction here between two kinds of patience. Two ways that we suffer long. There is a patience that we have with the circumstances of our life. With trials, with troubles, with persecutions, or with trials and troubles, or health, or poverty, or some other circumstance in our life. The other kind of patience is a patience with people in our life. And the text, when it says charity suffers long, has especially in mind the second, not a patience with circumstances, but with people. There are people whom we have to endure. And what that tells us is this, that sometimes in life we can endure a lot in regard to circumstances, but we find people very hard to endure. Perhaps you've seen that and you witnessed it. Somebody is going through a tough time in their life and you think they're doing pretty well, but then they'll say something like this: my life already stinks, I don't need you in it. And we really can't change much about the circumstances of our life, but when someone irritates us, then we can easily think, well, I'll get them out of my life. That'll make my life easier. And you see the contrast there. There's a patience with circumstances, but not with people. And what we have to see is that just as God places circumstances in our life, so He also places people in our life. And He says, love them. And suffer long. Be patient with them. The best way for us to understand what's meant here by suffering long is to consider God's patience and God's long-suffering towards us sinners. We see that in God Himself, and if we'll be godly, we'll follow that, and we see that in the Savior. And if we'll be Christ-like, we will follow that. Exodus chapter 34. God is going to reveal His glory to Moses He hides Moses in a cleft of the rock. He covers Moses with his hand. He passes by and he declares to Moses who he is. And this is what we read. The Lord passed by, Exodus 34, verse 6, and proclaimed, "The Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth." God's going to show Moses His glory. And here's the glory of God. That He's long-suffering. That He's long-suffering. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 8 through verse 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God is long-suffering. And then we ask the question, why? And the reason is that God is determined to save every one of His elect. That's the point in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, where it speaks of the long-suffering of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, the apostle's talking about the return of Christ. And some people are saying, well, He's not going to come back. Everything's going on as it was. And then they start to accuse God of not keeping His promise. And then the apostle says this, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, the promise of His return, as some men count slackness, but is," and now here's the explanation for why God has not come back, why Jesus has not returned, why this earth with all its sin and the curse hasn't been destroyed yet, why the new heavens and the new earth, in which we'll be perfect and dwell with God, hasn't come yet. Why? Because He's not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward, toward us. That's not all people, but that's His people, us believers. Not willing that any, and the idea is that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't will the repentance of every last man and woman, but He does will the repentance of every last one of His elect and every one for whom Jesus Christ has given His life blood. And so God suffers long. God withholds His judgment and His wrath. Now that comes to expression, especially in the suffering of Jesus Christ and in the cross of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, you see that. And this is a fulfillment of what Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 53, verse 7. "Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." Jesus suffered long. Jesus was patient when He was on the cross. Just think of His prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Or think of that patience as that worked out in the life of one of the thieves who were crucified with Him. They both hurled their insults at Him. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but He bore it. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. And that long suffering led to the repentance of the one thief. Think of how that's explained in the parable of the lost sheep regarding the shepherd. Jesus, He goes out to find that sheep, and it says, "Till He find it, till He find it." He doesn't quit looking. He doesn't give up on looking. He doesn't say, "Well, so much for the sheep, I've given enough time to it." But He seeks till He find it. Love is long-suffering. And you know it because you know God's love for you. But oh, we need it, don't we? We need long suffering. We need patience. Why do we need patience? Well, we first could answer that question this way. We need patience because we're called to live in relationships with people who are sinners. And those people who are sinners are going to mistreat us and they're going to injure us. Those people who are sinners, in their personal dealings with us, are going to be unfair. They're going to be dishonest. They're going to oppress and take advantage of us. They're going to break their promises and their word to us. They're going to defraud us of things that they owe to us. If they have authority over us, they will abuse that authority. If they're under our authority, they will disrespect us. They'll steal from us. These people are going to break your things and ruin your things. They're going to impose themselves on you. In the speech, they're going to speak evil of you. They're going to spread false rumors about you. They're going to misrepresent you. They're going to exaggerate your faults. They're going to belittle you. They're going to be cruel in their words against you. They're going to be unthankful and demanding. They're not going to understand you. You're not going to understand them. In their thoughts and their attitudes towards you, they will be sinful. They'll have pride and arrogance and hatred and envy. They'll treat you with silence. They'll hold grudges. They'll avoid you. They'll be jealous. They'll be critical. They'll be judgmental. Oh, we need patience. Those things that I just listed, I read Jonathan Edwards' Charity and Its Fruits. He spent pages listing why we're going to need patience with people. These people are going to do these things to us, not just once, but over and over again. We need patience because we live with sinners. But do you know that's not the main reason we need patience? The main reason that you need patience isn't because the people you live with are hard to live with. The main reason, the real reason that you need patience, that you need to be long-suffering, is because this is missing. This is missing in my life. And why is it missing? Why aren't I patient? Why sometimes is it totally missing? And the simple answer is because of my sin. I don't need patience because of other people's sins. I need patience because I'm a sinner. My sin, that's the problem. It's a sin problem. Lack of patience is a sin problem. If you take that seriously, that means whenever I'm impatient, I'm sinning. And that means I need to be corrected, that means I need to repent, that means I need to change. You see, the problem isn't a patience problem or a personality issue, it's a sin problem. How's that described in the text here? What kind of problem is it? Well, in the text, it's a love problem, isn't it? Love suffers long, love is patient. And if you don't have patience, it's because you don't have love. Think of that. We don't think of it that way. We say, well, I just have a problem with impatience, or I just have a problem with anger. No, you have a problem with love. When you're impatient, when you rage, when you react, you're not loving. That's the problem. The problem is sin. And really at the root of it is this pride. The root of impatience is personal pride. Think of your impatience. When were you last impatient? This morning? This afternoon? Trying to leave the house for church? And you reacted to an individual? It's not wrong for us to correct. We have to correct our children, but the question is our motive. What's the attitude under which we operate? And often it's this. In my pride, I think that I deserve better. from the other. Or in my pride, I think if somebody's doing something, I could do better. Just let me do it. I'll show you how it's done. And the real reason for our impatience is pride, isn't it? Pride. Think of the unforgiving servant. Aren't we like that? God is so patient with us, and we're so thankful to God for His patience, but we're so much like this unforgiving servant when we deal with one another. Charity suffers long. The response. The Scriptures call us to the activity of love. That's the proper response. First, to repent of our lack of love and our impatience, and to make that a part of our life, not just to repent once or to recognize it's there, but to continually and repeatedly be sorry with those whom we injure with our impatience, to deal with as sin, to stand before God and to see impatience as sin, to confess it not only to Him, but to one another. That's a massive step towards peace and love. And then along with that, to seek the Lord for love and patience, to seek Him in His Word, to seek to understand His love and patience towards us, but to seek Him also in prayer, to make this a prayer in my life. Lord, make me an instrument of Your love and Your patience in the lives of others, so that when they see and they experience my patience and my love, they're able to understand that God is loving and patient. Make that your prayer. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God is so patient, so long-suffering with us in His love, we ought also to be that with one another. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy patience and Thy long-suffering with us. Repeatedly, we offend, not only in thoughts and words, but also in actions. In grace, Thou dost receive us and forgive us. Lord, give us a love that covers a multitude of sins, and in which we're patient with others, with personalities, with personality weaknesses, with repeated offenses and repeated injuries, realizing that the real need that we have for patience is our own sin. That's why it's absent. And so help us, we pray, in the knowledge of Thy love for us, so to love one another. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.